The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
As we begin this teaching today, I want to direct our attention to an English word that is translated from the Hebrew word kavah, and it's Q-A-V-A-H. That is, if you put the vowels in it. And the English word that I'm focusing on is the word wait. We heard in the sermonette, and I'm not using that particular scripture in the sermon today, but he made the comment, you know, about stand still and wait. Stand still, I am the Lord. It comes from the same word. Wait, I am the Lord. I am God. That's what that is saying. So it ties right in this particular message itself. Kavah is found in many different Old Testament verses. In fact, it is the most commonly used Hebrew word for the word wait. There are other words, Hebrew words that what are translated as wait, but this is the one that is the most common. This is the one that I'm going to be focusing on in this particular message. The reason is because this is a very important word for us today, and the reason I think that it is primarily is so important for us today is because we do not tend to approach waiting in the same way that this biblical word encourages and instructs us to do so. It's not how we do it. In our modern society today, we often have a problem with waiting. We tend to want it now. We want quick gratification. I want patience and I want it now. And we all have heard that. And of course, we understand it. We even laugh about it, but it's really not funny. I mean, we laugh, but it's not really funny whenever it's not humorous, because it's a serious thing. Because, in fact, we, as I said, we want it now, and we want it now because we have difficulty with waiting. For example, we have difficulty waiting, say, in a doctor's office. Or we have problems waiting for the computer to boot up. Or, I mean, as a result, so we need a faster router, and we need this, and we need this other. Really? Well, you know, in some ways we'll justify that we need these things. Or we have problems even waiting at a traffic light. Will this light hurry up and change? Or we're not going to get through this next light. We're going to get through the next light. We're going to. It may take two rotations, but we're going to get through it. You know, so, but that flies in the face of this biblical principle. Because what I'm getting at, brethren, is as believers, what we need to realize is this Hebrew word, kavah, carries a totally different feeling. Kavah contains a primitive root that means to bind together, perhaps by twisting. Now, I'm going to show you a biblical principle about this over in the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm going to read one verse, but go to Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 12. We read it, most of you will be familiar with it, but you might not thought about it in the context of waiting. Verse 12, this is Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 12. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The reason it is because it's three strands twisted together, and it makes it much stronger. It is the principle of kavah. Now, we might not think about it in that way, But this is what we're seeing. And kavah can also mean to collect and to expect. It infers being patient. Also, it carries the feeling, or it carries the sense of eagerly expecting. So what are we eagerly expecting as coupled with twisting it together, binding it together, and thinking about being patient? Brethren, what we need to realize is that even though there may be some tension in our waiting, God expects that we allow him the time that he deems, that he sees necessary for him to answer our call and to intervene on our behalf. He's saying, give me the time. God's in charge. We've made this statement many, many times. He's going to answer in his own time. And what is needing is waiting on the Lord patiently. And that's what I have entitled this. Waiting on the Lord, and I have, comma, patiently. It takes kavah. That's what God has asked us to do. So here at this particular point, what I want us to do is I want us to take a look at a few verses. All of these are going to be from the book of Psalms that give us the context of God's kind of waiting. Not our kind, not our society's kind, but what God thinks about it. And we can see it in the context of these verses. There are other passages other than Psalms, but I'm just going to read these just from the Psalms because it's easier to do it out of one book and just go from one to the next to the next. And that's what I'm going to do. So let's start in Psalm 25 and verse 5. 25 verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. Do we? Do we? Verse 21, this is still in Psalm 25, and now verse 1. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on you. Psalm 27 and verse 14. 27 verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That word is kavah. Psalm 37 verse 7. This is part of what we read at the very beginning of services when we read services, read Psalms and our verses together. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way. Not in God's way, but the man who prospers in his way and his doing things. Because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil, because, or as it says in the King James, because evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see, and it's an implied it, you shall see and you will inherit the land. Obviously, this is referring to the giving of eternal life. Psalm 39 and verse 7. 39 verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? What am I waiting for? My hope is in you. It's an implied, I'm waiting on you, as we're supposed to, as we would intend that we would do. And I have one more at this time, Psalm 40 and verse 1. 40 verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. So at this point, I want us to think about the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. You know where it is. Let's go there and let's read it. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and then he lists these characteristics out. And you know them, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or patience. We say, I don't like long-suffering. Substitute the word patience. Substitute the word waiting on the Lord. Having that as a thought in our mind. That long-suffering fits that. Patience fits that going on. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance against stuff, there is no law. But so, brethren, as we know, these characteristics are fruits of God's divine nature. And hopefully we see this, we understand this, we accept this fact, and we think about it, and that God has these attributes. He has each one of these. And God's nature can wait properly, correctly, patiently. And we have the same Holy Spirit. So I'm just not a good waiter. You have God's Holy Spirit. It's there. It's there. Because we see one of these attributes is patience or long-suffering, which is the same thing. And that's the principle that we're talking about. You see, brother, God wants us to learn to wait properly, correctly, patiently on him as he works out his will in our lives. So something happens, we take it to God. And what do we expect? We take it to God in prayer, and we expect there's an answer to be right now, because, well, you're God and I've asked, and this is what he wants us to learn. This is what he is wanting. Because also, as we have seen in these few verses that we just took a look at in the book of Psalms, what we see here is God's kind of waiting, kavah, involves, and I'm going to give you a list right out of the verses. We read these as part of the verses that we read. And so if you do it as bullets, the first one is it involves waiting for God all the day. The second one is being led in truth. The next one is being preserved by uprightness. The next one is having good courage and a strong heart. And brother, what I want us to see is all of these things, all of these takes waiting patiently on the Lord, in spite of whatever it is that might be happening around us, happening to others. Or to us. And then it is knowing that God sees our patient waiting on him. It's okay to take a look at ourselves and knowing that we are waiting patiently on God, and to have this and to know that this is part of who we are. We are a people that can wait patiently on God because that's what he wants. He demonstrates this characteristic in himself. And he wants this to be part of who we are. It also includes knowing that he hears our cries. If we're waiting patiently on the Lord, we know that he is going to listen to us. We know that he is going to hear our cries unto him. We also should be adjusted to, satisfied, accepted the fact that he's going to answer in his time. And it's going to be for our good. So, brother, the reality is, when we get right down to it, it could be said that as true believers today, true Christianity is waiting. Now, it's not how we would want to say that. And I want to tell you, it's a statement that I've never stated in a sermon before. But when you really get down to it, isn't that really what it is? We're doing all of these things waiting. We're waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're waiting to have prayers answered. We're waiting. It's part and parcel of who we are and what God is doing. And that's good. That's an okay thing. Because when you really get down to it, after all, our perspective today on waiting is perhaps one of the most noticeable ways our society is out of step with the Old Testament biblical view of waiting on the Lord. It is so foreign to that concept. But that's what God has asked us to do. You see, it's also in the New Testament. It's also, he brings it right over. It's a New Testament principle as well. Now, I want us to understand this. I am not saying that waiting on the Lord was easy for those Old Testament saints. And yet at the same time, I am saying they were more at peace with it and more ready to see what I would term the goodness and the potential of waiting on the Lord. We don't. We're impatient. And I go, well, yeah, but it's part of our society. What difference does that make? We're going to be following God. Those Old Testament saints, they waited. They waited on the Lord. We can read Hebrews 11, Hebrews 12. We're not. And it lists of all of these people that waited for things. They're looking for the city whose builder and maker was the Lord. They waited all of their lifetime, dying, still waiting for all of this to be accomplished. It's all of this is why I come to the conclusion and make the statement is when we really boil it all down, Christianity is waiting. Now, what I am saying through all of this, what I mean is, in the Old Testament, we can see various statements about waiting on the Lord from different people, and I want to show you just a couple of examples. I want to show you one from David. Now, we've already read some Psalms, he talks about it, but I want to show you it in a little bit different way. Because David celebrated waiting patiently for the Lord. We see that in Psalm 40. We read Psalm 40 in verse 1. I want to read it again. We're thinking about David celebrating waiting for the Lord. Think about it in that way. In verse 1, and it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. This is not just a statement that he's making. This is a pronouncement. He was exciting. He is talking about how awesome God is. He's also talking about the fact that, and I'm used the word celebrated, his waiting patiently for the Lord. Then another one that I want to show you is where the prophet Isaiah, over in Isaiah verse 40, made a promise about those who wait. You'll recognize this. It's in Psalm 40 and verse 31. Psalm 40 and verse 31. I'm sorry, Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall faint. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait on the Lord. Those who kava. It implies waiting on the Lord patiently. Did he promise that it's going to happen right now? It's not what the promise is. The promise is it's going to happen. And we're waiting for that promise. So I think that what we see is that waiting on God is to be a constant part of the life of us as believers. It is to be a constant part of our life. We're to have this really in the forefront of our thinking. Are we waiting on the Lord? It's a yes or no. Because he wants us to have this. We also see over in the book of Isaiah in chapter 26 where it shows us that waiting on God needs to be a real desire of us as believers. Not just that we do it, but it is to be a desire that we have this. Isaiah 26 and verse 8. O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and remembrance are the desire of our heart, or of our soul, or of our very being. Does that define us? I hope so. It is what is obvious to me that God is wanting us is to have this. And then also in Isaiah chapter 64, we can see that God acts on the behalf of those who wait on the Lord. Isaiah 64 and verse 4. 64 verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, besides you. In other words, there's none but you that have seen this. Man hasn't seen it. What he has prepared for him that waits for him. What this is telling us is waiting on the Lord, from the act of waiting on the Lord, we can come to the conclusion that God is going to act on that. We know he's going to act on that. It's to be a desire. We're to all have it. And we know God is going to react to it. He's going to do that. But brethren, did you notice the totally unmatched power and grace of God for those who wait on the Lord? Because he says, it's only you. Because it's only God that can do that. He's unmatched. There are no equals. But that's who we wait for. Because we trust him. We believe him. We have courage. We have strength of heart to continue on. Because we know who he is and what he said he's going to do. And we believe it. And we live our lives based upon that. Waiting on the Lord. Patiently. And now even after hundreds and hundreds of years. Or of waiting for the Lord by the Old Testament saints. What we need to understand, it is no different today in the church age, in which what most people refer to that we're living in. It's no different. It's no different for Christians, for believers in the New Testament than it was for those Old Testament believers. They were to wait on the Lord, and they did. Did they do everything right? No. Did they wait on the Lord? Yes. Those who did it got it, and the principles are there. And it's recorded so that we can model ourselves after those saints. because the New Testament believers are to do the same thing. Because, brethren, what I want us to see and think about it is we have been called to wait in the shadow of his return. He's come. They were waiting for him to come. They died before he came. He came, and he died, and he was resurrected, and now he's at the throne of God. And now we're waiting in the shadow of all that he did. They were waiting in the foreshadow of it. We're reading, he's already come. Now we're waiting for him to come the second time as the conquering king. We're waiting. So as I said, it's no different. It's just where Jesus actually came. And now he's gone, and we're waiting for him to come also. That's the point that I'm trying to make there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7. And I want to read this from the New International Version. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gifts as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed or to come a second time. See, they had spiritual gifts in the fact that they were waiting patiently for him. And we're not slacking, we're not having any less spiritual gifts and waiting for him also to be revealed. I mean, that's what this is saying. Titus 2 and verse 13. Titus 2 and verse 13, again from the NIV. While we wait for the blessed hope, that is the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, as believers today, and as being part of the body of Jesus Christ, part of the Church of God, we are among people who are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Or are we? Are we just marking time? There has to be the recognition that we are waiting. David knew it. He celebrated. Isaiah recognized it. He wrote about it. Others did. And then, like I said, it's no different for us. He came, which is what they were waiting for. He came. And now we're waiting for him to return. And it's not just the marking of time. Okay, well, he'll get here when he gets here. He will get here when he gets here. But there has to be this awareness in our being that we are waiting patiently on the Lord. That's what this word is referring to. This is what the essence of this word is really all about. This is what that Bible principle is all about. Brother, when all is said and done, what we have seen today is that the Church of God consists of those people who know that when Jesus Christ appears, he comes to save those who are confidently and eagerly and patiently waiting for him. There is going to be this knowing. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. Hebrews 9, 28. I'm going to read this from a translation that I use it as a study reference, but I don't typically read from it in a sermon, but I'm going to read it. I'm going to read this one from the Amplified Bible. I think it makes it a little clearer. I read it out of about 15 different translations. So Christ, having been offered once and once for all to bear as a burden the sins of many, will appear a second time when he returns to earth, not to deal with sin. This is an interesting concept, and this is an interesting verse to think about and to study in itself. I'm not going to go into real detail. But to bring salvation to those who are eagerly and confidently waiting for Him. And I add in the word patiently. Eagerly and confidently waiting for Him. There's this knowing. The church of God is going to consist of people who know. They're not just one day after the next. We know that we are waiting, we are looking for, we anticipating, and we know He's going to come whenever it's right, when it's correct, because He is God and He knows when that is. We don't. So why are we going to get impatient with it? Because He knows exactly what is right. And the church of God is going to consist of people who know this and are anticipating this, because when He comes, He's going to bring, as it says, salvation for those who have waited patiently and confidently for Him. I want us to remember this point. I want us to go away from this today and thinking about this particular point, that this is where the church of God is to be. There are other things about the church of God that we're to do, but this is one that I don't really think that we've really focused on. But I want us to remember this point. And may we all wait patiently for every promise and for every answer to every one of our prayers. Because we know He's going to hear our cry. We know He's going to hear us. We know He's going to do what He says He's going to do. And that should build so much faith, so much trust, so much reliance upon God. And it should give us a hope for the return of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to go back again to Psalm 37, verse 7. And I'm going to just read the A part of that verse. We've read this already a couple of times today. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Yes, I want us to get this. I want us to focus on this. It says that we are to wait for Him. Please, brethren, let's understand, let's do not simply seek the help. Yes, we ask God for the help. We ask God for the deliverance. We ask God for these things that we have the need of. But it's not just the seeking the help. No, we need to seek Him. We need to wait for Him patiently. It's a different focus. Do we ask? Yes. Do we want the help? Do we want the answers to our prayers? Yes. But it's very plain whenever you really peel it all back and you really look at what He's saying. What we're waiting for is not the answer. We're waiting for Him. The answer will come because we're waiting for Him. I want the answer and I want it now. It's not going to happen. We seek Him. We wait for Him patiently. It's going to come. It's going to come. We need to think about giving the glory to God by resting in Him. We need to give God glory. I'm choosing my words, I hope, correctly here. By trusting Him fully. We give glory to God by waiting patiently for Him. And brethren, please understand, by doing so, this honors God. It's not about us. It's not about us. Yes, I made the comment that we can be able to come to the conclusion that, yes, I am waiting patiently, because that's a characteristic that we are to have. Do we need to see that? Yeah. But what it does, it doesn't focus on us. It focuses on Him. It focuses on God. It gives Him honor. And by waiting for the Lord patiently, it leaves Him as God on the throne. Not us. Not our opinions. Not what our desires are. Not what it is we're wanting. But it leaves God as God on the throne and allows Him to do and to complete His work. Again, this is a different way of focusing on this. I do understand that. Again, as believers, my prayer is that we will all be among those who are waiting on the Lord patiently. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Brethren, God bless each one of you, each one of us, as we wait on the Lord patiently.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.